Hello, welcome to our second Sunday of Advent service today. As always, we will begin with prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your very presence in our lives, for your presence here. We ask that you would facilitate this message, this time with you, the entirety of service. God, we just are so blessed by your presence. Please take the message and use it as you see fit. And guide the words as they're spoken, but certainly as they're heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, on this second Sunday of Advent, the theme is peace. And the title of this message is Good News. Everyone likes to hear good news. I don't know of anybody that really doesn't appreciate hearing good news. Can you think of a time when you had peace, as we referenced the Advent service of peace today, the message of peace? Can you think of a time when there was no peace, or when you had peace? Did the peace last? Are you still enjoying the peace from something? Can you think of a time in all of human history that there was peace? I know I grew up 4 years listening to the Miss America pageant once a year, and there was always the question of what they would wish for, and it was always world peace. Has that ever happened? Has there ever been world peace? Jesus came to this earth called the Prince of Peace. From Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Did Jesus have peace when he came to this earth? Did the world around him have peace? How about the disciples? They spent 3 years with Jesus. Was there peace in their life? Did they experience peace? In all of human existence, can you think of a time where there has been peace, where there was peace? It's never happened. There has never been a time of complete peace in human existence. Think about that. Can you think of any time? I've been racking my brain as I thought about this, and I cannot think of a time. Not even in the garden with Adam and Eve. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, and Satan the enemy in the form of a serpent showed up. And peace was not there. Today's text is taken from Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. And you've heard the reading of that text previously, a little earlier in the service. The translation that I will be using is the English Standard Version. Isaiah 40 is speaking into a very disturbing deliverance of bad news. The news in chapter 39 is so bad that the book of Isaiah is often divided at chapter 40, with the first 39 chapters giving warning, and the last 40 through 66 is words of comfort, of peace. It seems the entire year, this year of 2020, has been a year of bad news. To top that list is COVID-19, the pandemic, cancer is still there. It's still ravaging people's lives. COVID and cancer, I am quite sure that you can think of someone that has been impacted by that. They've either contacted COVID and survived or not, or cancer has ravaged people, and you may know of many that have experienced that. And some have died. This year, the financial world of many of us has been impacted job loss. I know right now, as I give this message, there are many people that are stressing over the loss as their unemployment checks end. They don't know where to go and what to do. The one thing that we do know of, bad news, seems to speak to us at every turn. And our news media makes sure that we hear bad news on a regular basis. But today, in this message, we're going to hear good news of comfort and hope. Bad news exists. We cannot prevent it. We can't make it stop. But is it the only news? Isaiah, in Isaiah, God is focusing on good news, deliverance and restoration. The text begins with God's voice of comfort. Chapter 40 and verse 1. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sin. I want to take and comment from the Believer's Bible commentary over these two verses. Chapter 40 opens with a message of comfort for the returning captives. Jerusalem's troubles are over. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received double, that is, full and fitting measure for all her sins. This will be fully realized at the second coming of Jesus. In the meantime, this old earth, and even the church, is greatly in need of comfort. Isaiah continues with three voices, sharing three different aspects that he preaches in their respective words. God wants this message to be heard. He is not content to just say it once. He keeps speaking it to us by different voices to deliver the same message. Listen to the good news of God's love for us. Let it become the final word over all the bad news that we're facing. Let's listen to the positive, to the good news, and let the bad news go where it goes, as Satan puts things down, or as Jesus puts things down. Verse 1, a royal revelation and restoration. Isaiah 40, and we'll pick it up in verse 3. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Using cultural terminology, and that a lot of times is how scripture is written. It was written in a particular time, and they use the terminology of the day to try and make it clean and clear in what they were saying. So using the cultural terminology, Isaiah used the imagery for preparing a highway in the desert, probably draws from the Babylonian region that would build a special processional road where they could display their gods before the people. The purpose of that processional road was to tell everyone around the king is coming. In verse 5, it talks about all flesh shall see it together. Want to reference Revelations 1 and verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Everyone will see Jesus when he returns. Again, in verse 5, it talks about, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. When Jesus comes, that glory will be revealed. In Jesus, we come face to face with who God is, and he is glorious indeed. A God full of grace and truth, a God who loves us, with his dying breath. God is for us even when our sin plunges us into the bondage and exile we deserve. Jesus is right there with us. He doesn't leave us there. He reveals and restores and brings us home. What a blessing. The second voice, unfailing faithfulness. God is not leaving our salvation up to us. He loves us that much. In verse 6, a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The poetic language of flowers and grass contrasts the frail, fading, and fleeting nature of our faith with the sure and unfailing faithfulness of God's word in Jesus Christ. We'll go back to the commentary over these verses 6-8. The Lord instructs the prophet to cry out to men, telling them how transitory they are and how permanent his word is. Humanity is transitory. The word of God is constant and forever. Jesus is God's promise. Think about that. God kept his promise with Jesus Christ. Verse 8, we can count on it with our whole being as it will stand forever. The third voice, voice 3, it's personal. Go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herd of good news, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might and his rules, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. The first two voices speak of the good news with tremendous global and national implications. The first one, a royal and revelation and restoration. The second, unfailing faithfulness. The third voice lets us know that we do not get lost in a crowd. This good news is for us personally. God is a personal God, as Father, Son, and Spirit. His good news is to you as a particular person in relationship with the triune God. Here, he is speaking to each one of us. He cares. He loves. In verse 11, he will send his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. One last time, we will go back to the Bible commentary. Show the severity and the goodness of God. Severity to those who refuse to acknowledge him, but gentle goodness to his flock and lambs. He comes as a caring shepherd, full of humility and tenderness. He comes as a caring shepherd, full of humility and tenderness. He knows the bad news you are facing. There's no surprise for him there. And he knows the heaviness of your heart. He knows what is troubling you. And I think each one of us can reflect and think of just those things, some bad news that we've just received. I know I received some a couple of days ago, and it's still impacting me. It's still bothering you, and it hurts. And God knows, and God is working through it with me. He knows the heaviness of my heart. He understands what I'm dealing with. He carries you in his arms to heal and to lift you up. Jesus carries us. Think about Jesus carrying you in the midst of your troubles. Can you feel that? Can you see that? Can you experience what that is? Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good news that the Father wants you to hear today, the good news of Jesus. The bad news is coming to an end. Jesus is bringing peace to this earth and for all of humanity for the first time ever. Can you picture in your mind, can you imagine what peace 100% of all the earth would be like, what it would look like? As Jesus returns, the enemy and all of his demons will be cast out. There will no longer be those negative and bad news influencers. There will be the love of Jesus Christ reaching into each one of us. The good news has arrived in Jesus. And this is a word of comfort indeed. As we move to the next section of worship of our service, it's a section where we will be participating in the Lord's Supper, a communion service. We are receiving a share in his resurrected and ascended life in renewed relationship with God. Frame that in your mind as we participate with this communion meal. Jesus took the bread and he held it up. He looked at it, and he broke it, and he asked his Father, God, please look at this. Bless this bread representing my broken body. We thank you. And then he took the bread, and he said, eat. This is my body broken for you. Then he took the cup, and again, he held it and said, Father, please, I ask that you bless this fruit of the vine that represents my body spilled for each. Thank you. And then he said, take and drink. The Lord's Supper marks the triune God's ever-sharing of life and love that draws us more deeply into communion with God and each other and strengthens us for the service in the Word. We are drawn together. Thank you for participating with us today. It is a joy to share what God is blessing us, the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or a comment, you may reach us in two ways. At our website at gcderby.org or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, watch over and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.